Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Go from a fan of the show to star of the show. Send us your opinions now, and they could be discussed live on today's show. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show.
Oh, good morning, Canada. Canadian sports fans around the world, welcome to the Rod Peterson Show on this Thursday, November the 14th. We're coming to you from the bunker out here in gorgeous Western Canada, where it's warming up, heading into the weekend. We can see zero from here. And we're only going higher. Hi. Oh, I'm Rod Peterson, by the way. He's Darren DuPont, the co-host. If I'm Laverne, he's Shirley.
Hey.
And I meant to get a photo.
And I'm Squiggy.
Nearly Squiggy. Where's Lenny? Oh, he's on the couch. DuPont has no idea what we're talking about, or anybody under the age of 30. Welcome to the show today. I hope you're ready to have some fun, because I certainly am. I'm excited.
It's a good show.
Can you tell?
Yeah.
Silver Fox Kelly Rempel is in the bunker. Can you move that, Ryan, I'm sorry, that stupid Tetris board so I can see who's on the show today? Sean Lemon, thank you. Sean Lemon, our CFL playoff insider from the BC Lions, will be on with us today. Kelly Bates, offensive lineman of the, former offensive lineman of the BC Lions. Now he's the O-line coach. Steve Dangle, the YouTube star, Leafs follower, and Ivan Goodfriend, the great Ivan Goodfriend, to talk a little bit about injuries. You know anything about that, Kelly?
I know, I have lots of opinions, but I know nothing.
Well,
I know what I read on WebMD. That's about it.
One thing that I noticed, it's really a good thing for me to get outside the bunker, outside from behind this desk, and watch from the other side. And I did that in Texas. And one thing I really liked about Derek Myers and you was you guys jumped right into the deep end. No preamble, no gobbledygook, no garbage. Let's just get after it. Right. And that's kind of where I'm thinking as we roll into the playoff weekend here, CFL division final weekend. There's one reason that I'm really excited, and that is I was in Hanley yesterday. As you guys know, I'm speaking to the kids there at Hanley School. I should have got a photo for Clark to post, but that's okay. Mark Anderson, vice principal, teacher there, great guy, football guy, 5-year U of S Husky lineman, played against Randy Ambrosi, and he said Ambrosi almost killed him. Physically. That obviously Randy Ambrosi was a star. But guys, he watches every show. The teachers watch every or listen to every show. And they sent me back with like an avalanche of gear. Okay? So we're gonna have a bit of a flea market / scarves, jackets, shorts,
but
hats.
It's awesome looking
it's
stuff.
It's really nice stuff.
It's like pro caliber.
Yeah, this is from their high school football team,
but
the Sabres.
Wow. It's awesome.
This is exactly something that I would wear.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I want.
Thank you, Mark. I think it's too big for you, Cal.
Sabres.
I think it's too big, yeah. The XL is going here.
Can you toss it over just for us?
Oh, yeah. There you go.
I just want to take it.
And then he gave me this sticker. Where did I put it? It's going to go on my... Oh, right here. Window decal is going to go on my laptop from the Sabres. So I just want to say thank you to Hanley School. I was out there talking mental health and addictions with them. And spent some time talking with him, talking to the kids one-on-one afterwards, and it was a good time, so thank you. And the only thing is, Saskatoon, bravo Saskatoon, 7,200, they say, showed up to SaskTel Center last night to watch the WHL All-Stars beat Russia 2-1 in the Canada-Russia series, and they go to PA tonight, but a lot of Saskatoon people were saying to me, hey, you're in the area, you're in Hanley, why don't you come up to the game? And I'm like, I hadn't planned for that, and I apologize.
Would have been good.
Yes, it would have been outstanding.
And the people who were there, you know, they said 7,200 people. Like, I felt like over 8,000. Like
it looked really good.
It looked really good on television. It was a really, if you stayed till the very end, you got a really good finish.
Overtime,
and a good late goal, too. It's awesome. That was a good night.
Yeah, so I'm going through Saskatoon on Saturday on the way to Paradise Hill to speak with Brian Sutter, Daryl Sutter, Rachel Holman, Buddy Benzmiller. I'm going to stop in Saskatoon and go to Wendell Clark's for lunch on the way, okay? Fair enough, but there's a lot of things going on this week. I didn't even think about going to the hockey game, so I apologize. Thank you, Saskatoon, for the invite.
Maybe but catch I'll, a Hanley Sabres what, football game. If
yeah, yeah, well, yeah, well, I had my hands full in Hanley. So moving on, I'm going to officially jump into the topic that I want to get to, which will be a theme through the show, and that is, did the Saskatchewan Roughriders give up on Zach Collaros? Because it never for one second dawned on me that they might have when they traded him away to the Toronto Argonauts, whenever that was in August. And Clark's on it real fast. There it is, the daily poll question for Capital Auto Mall, Universal Collision Center. Did the riders give up on Zach Collaros? And if you go to Twitter, I put little emojis on there like, no, laughing, crying emoji. No. Or yes, they did. Because this is the narrative that's coming out of Winnipeg, gents, over the last couple of days. And I don't know if you saw Zach's comments from practice yesterday. He's like, yeah, there's extra motivation. I wouldn't be human if I said there wasn't. So he's coming in here, pissed at the riders, I guess. And I don't know if this is the reporters that are saying it or he's saying it. I'm not sure. It's kind of, it smacks to me, Rimps, of Tom Brady-ish manufactured chip on your shoulder stuff, which works very well for Tom and might work for Zach this weekend. So here in the rollout for Flooring Superstore, I'm jumping right into the deep end with what could be a theme for the rest of the show. What do you think, Kelly? Is this a thing?
No. I mean, not for him, it isn't. I think we like to talk about it. It gives us content. That's why we're talking about it here today.
Mm-hmm.
We love this kind of stuff. But Zach Collaros, I don't think, has any contempt for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. I mean, the fact of the matter is, the guy was hurt constantly while he was here. And if you were to ask Zach, okay, you have two choices. You know, you can either stay here and be a backup quarterback and probably hardly ever get to play again, or you can move somewhere else with a chance to maybe play when you get healthy. He probably relished in the opportunity of thinking that he could get back out on the field in a more likely scenario to do so. So I don't think he's pissed off at the Rough Riders. Any player that ever played and spent significant time with an organization, when they come back to that organization and they walk into that stadium that they've played and practiced on for 2 or 3 or 4 years, there's a certain charm to that and a certain extra motivation than there would be going into a stadium that the only time you ever walk in there is the once a year that you go to play. I mean, that's human nature. It would be the same. It would be the same for anybody. Anybody.
Well, and so Blake's watching in Kindersley this morning, and he says, no, it was safety reasons, and the riders didn't want that karma, my opinion. And that may be true, but I was on the air in Winnipeg this morning, ASTV, with Theo, the host, and he brings up a great point. He's like, if Zach Collaros was healthy enough to play, why didn't the Argos play him? Why was he holding a clipboard on the sidelines for so long? And I saw that at Touchdown Atlantic. Like, it doesn't make any sense that he's even playing this weekend. And good on him that he is. Because he looked great in the last game against Calgary in the regular season. He looked great, obviously, in Calgary in the playoffs. Then why, then, did the Riders trade him away? Like, you could see how there's another angle, though, right?
Right. No, I can see it.
You see where this is coming from.
I do. And you always talk about a starter shouldn't lose their job to injury.
And that's garbage.
When you come back. No, but I'm not saying it's my opinion, but that's a theme that is alive and well in sports. And should you lose your job just because you got sick? Think about in your field. Now, I mean, it's a little different, but think about an employee.
It's totally different. It's a performance-driven business.
All businesses should be performance-driven. Just because I'm suck at my job doesn't mean I get it back just because I got to feed my...
Yeah, it does mean you don't get it back.
No! Then yes, why is it different for sports?
Because it's a performance-driven business based on performance.
All businesses
If somebody takes over your job on the football field, if you're a goalie in hockey and you're clearly better performing at a much higher level than the guy that you just outperformed and he comes back, if you're the coach, what are you going to do? Well, we're going to go back to the guy that had a 3.1% goals against average and an 89% save percentage, but we're going to play him over the guy that's got a 94% save percentage and a 2.2, and the team plays better in front of. Why? Because he was there first? Are you kidding me,
Darren?
What
if our sales guy, Tyler, goes on vacation for a month, and we bring a guy in who sells 10 times
what
he does?
He's sick for a month.
He's sick.
Even better. He can't work.
He's sick. He can't work. And we bring a guy in who sells 10 times as much. We get a new studio.
We're now doing the show from Maui. Keep the guy
that
sells 10 times as much.
And, yeah,
that's what
you're saying. But now you're telling me in business that the guy should get his job back. He's got to go find a new job.
I didn't say that.
I think you actually are arguing the same thing.
But didn't he say that at the beginning?
No. I'm agreeing. Everything is performance driven. And the reality of the situation is that if you're a mechanic in a garage, okay? Or you're the FedEx guy. Or you're the guy that pumps gas. It's a different situation because they're not tangible. They're not tangible.
Right. There's certain things that aren't tangible.
The clerk at London Drugs, you could certainly argue, how could you definitively say that that person that got sick, what did they put, the guy at Safeway, do they measure how many bags of groceries get done? I don't think they do.
Maybe the replacement for Sheila at London Drugs is just crushing through the till, right? So it's like when Sheila comes, what's okay, Sheila?
But the other,
because Linda's really handling it here very well.
65 items per
You've
minute.
Been traded to Shoppers Drug Mart.
You're fired.
Yeah.
You're fired. But there's also labor laws that prevent those kinds
sure.
of things.
Very
it's
true.
An apple and oranges debate. There's no labor law in football that says, as a coach, I have to play the guy. Danny Barrett used to say that all the time. There'd be, the safety would go down, and he'd say, when he comes back, he gets his job back. I don't care if the guy that took over his spot is a better football player. And I'm thinking to myself, what kind of an idiot would go into a game thinking to himself, if you can clearly say on video, statistical, video evidence, that this guy is way better than this guy. And this guy comes back, but he doesn't get his job because he was there first? What are we, in kindergarten?
But it's not about the decision to play him or not, and make him the quarterback or not. It's not about that. And I don't think anybody's disagreeing that the best quarterback should play. I don't think that's an issue.
Then what
here.
Are you saying?
But the issue.
Yeah, what are we saying?
But the issue is the poll question. It's how does Zach Collaros feel that the team either gave up on him or didn't? I mean, if I came back from my job and I had, somebody else had outperformed me at my job, and all of a sudden it was like, hey, look, we got to find a different job for you now or something else, I would feel like they gave up on me. Right? Because I think I can do the job just as good as that person. And Zach thinks he can play football just as good as Cody Fajardo.
How often do we talk about this both on the air and off?
He was never on the field.
Yeah, but that's where I'm getting, is that life, so much of it comes down to perspective. Two sides are the actual three sides,
yeah.
Which is your side, my side, and then the truth is in the middle. So depending on how you look at the poll question today, did the Riders give up on Zach Collaros? It never even dawned on me that anybody would think that they did.
Right.
Yet if you're Zach, you probably think that they did. And now, he should look in the mirror, Kelly. You're right. He couldn't play. And I didn't think they should have signed him going into 2019 to begin with. You weren't healthy in the playoffs because of concussion issues. Sorry, Zach. We gave you your chance. Fool me once. Shame on you. Fool me twice. Shame on us.
Right. But just to be
so,
clear.
So they didn't give up on him.
No.
That's what we all agree, right?
Had Zach at some point triggered that? Has he given anybody the impression that he feels that way, or are we assuming and talking about it because it's great water cooler discussion?
Don't interject logic into this discussion.
I'm just asking
it's
the
fun.
Question. Did I miss something?
No. Not really.
Has he said something to the effect of, I really wish that they would have given me another chance or something
I don't know. Look, put me on the spot. I could call it up right now.
No.
The exact quote, I'm
wondering if I missed something.
I'm saying to you that at practice yesterday in Winnipeg, Zach Collaros basically said there's extra motivation to come in and beat the Riders. He said, I wouldn't be human if I didn't feel that way. Didn't really get into they gave up on me or the reasons why, but I think we all know why he feels extra motivated to beat the Saskatchewan Roughriders on Sunday. So the point, there was no quote that I saw, they gave up on me, so I'm going to go in and kick their ass.
I haven't seen that,
but it's kind of implied, isn't it?
Yeah, I get it, why he's upset, for sure. And I mean, they didn't give up on him. They found a guy who's the future of the franchise, and the Riders are in a much better spot, and they should be super happy. But, when you think about Zach, he gets the big hit from Simone Lawrence. Well, first he got re-signed. Then he takes the big hit from Simone Lawrence, and we're all rallying around that. We all rally around this big hit from Simone Lawrence and shouldn't have hit our guy, and that's our guy, and that's our guy for a minute, because now we're just tossing you out with the trash, and all of a sudden we're just with the next guy. Like, there's no history there, there's no loyalty there, and there shouldn't be in sports because it's about winning and losing, but I get it. It's like, we talk about playing in relationships. All of a sudden, 1 second after you break up with me,
you're dating somebody else.
Like, 1 second, you're moving in and you're getting married. Like,
What's this all about?
So I understand how he feels that
I'm going to give you 60 seconds, and then we got to get out of the rollout for Flooring Superstar. Because you're sitting there huffing and shaking your head. And
well, I don't understand where we're going with this.
That's fine.
The thing started out, we were talking about, does Zach Collaros have the right to be pissed off or upset or frustrated? But I don't think he's any of those things.
Let me stop. He said there's extra motivation to beat this team.
But that doesn't mean he's mad.
We're not saying he's mad.
There would be for anybody, Rod. Anybody. Anybody that goes and plays against your former team, there's extra motivation.
Okay, so what are you saying?
That's what I'm saying.
No, what are you saying? Does he have a right to be?
He doesn't have a right to be mad, but he's got every right to be extra motivated. There's nothing to be mad about. They moved on with a better player. And we don't know that he didn't want to.
So you're saying he shouldn't be motivated then? We got a break and sort this out, and we'll be back. On the way, Steve Dangle, Sean Lemon, Kelly Bates, and a whole lot more. This has been the rollout for Flooring Superstore on the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Our biggest sale of the year has returned. The greatest auto sale is back at Capital Ford Lincoln. With savings up to $19,000. And for a limited time, finance rates are as low as 0% on new and used vehicles. Plus, most new vehicle purchases come with a free set of winter tires. And buy or lease a new or used vehicle during the greatest auto sale for your chance to win your payments for a whole year. Run down, walk down, bust down, or fly down. Just get yourself down to Capital's greatest auto sale.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Hi, I'm Joshua John Batista. I'm a staff radiation oncologist at the Allen Blair Cancer Center. CT simulators are essential for all modern radiation treatments. Before a patient can undergo the treatment planning process, the CT simulator is the first step. So it allows us to plan and deliver radiation treatments for thousands of patients.
This isn't just a beer. This is a double-aged, never-back-down, full-of-heart Western beer. This is a beer brewed by 16 guys who risked it all. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Rod Peterson Showtime for a Thursday morning sports update for Ballers Rec Room. Lethbridge Hurricanes defenseman Kalen Addison scored 2 minutes into overtime. His Team WHL edged Team Russia 2-1 Wednesday in Game 5 of the Canada-Russia Series. Bowen Byram of the Vancouver Giants, the fourth overall pick in the 2019 draft by Colorado, recorded the game's tying goal with an extra attacker on the ice, with just 22 seconds to go in regulation. Sixth and final game of the series will take place in PA tonight. And again, bravo to Saskatoon, 7,200 in SaskTel Center. Sounds like a hell of a game. Regina Pats have announced their regular season game with the Swift Current Broncos has been rescheduled for Tuesday, November 19th at the Brand Center. The game was postponed last Friday due to a malfunction with the ice plant at the Brand Center. Meanwhile, the Pats have announced they've acquired 18-year-old forward Carter Chorney from the Swift Current Broncos in exchange for 17-year-old defenseman Sam McGinley. I'll get into the NHL stuff later. That's the local notes for Ballers Rec Room, Regina's newest entertainment destination. Let me just say this about the Pats ice malfunction. Were you there, Rems, Friday night?
I was pulling into the parking lot, driving into the media, whatever you want to call it, little designated areas, and Rod Houck.
The Houckster
comes walking over to me and he says, well, that really sucks, doesn't it? I said, well, I don't know what you're talking about.
He didn't know.
No, because I was listening to my podcast or something like that. And he said, well, you didn't hear? And then it dawned on me that Well, yeah, there does seem to be an unusual number of cars leaving the parking lot. And I hadn't been really paying much attention. He says, yeah, my kid was getting called up to play, I think he said, or something like that. And they were drilling a hole through the mooring where they put the nets on. And it went through the pipe, and there's yellow crap everywhere, and it's gone.
Well,
the game's canceled.
I'm all excited. Believe it or not, I was in Texas ready to watch the game, and it was going to be on television. And then this happens. I found out from Jared Dumba's Twitter that the game was canceled. And as you know, for a lot of years, I called Pat's games on TV. I don't anymore. And my wife says to me in the hotel room in Austin, Texas, she goes, can you imagine if we'd cut this trip short? We flew home for you to do a game that was canceled because of this. Oh. I said, I'd have been homicidal. Because as it was, I'd flown home from various southern locations to call these games. And then that. So anyways, that game will be made up on Tuesday, November the 19th.
Or if you're Colton Tubert.
Colton Tubert bobblehead night. All his friends and family are there.
Right. The things you've missed to call a hockey game on television. Didn't you miss Jerry Seinfeld to call a hockey game? Then on your birthday?
Yeah. That's a long story. Yeah. I did not realize this. I'm sorry. We got Steve Dangle on the line on the video chat. Steve Dangle, host of the Steve Dangle podcast, Leafs fan reaction, co-host of Ice Surfing on Sportsnet, author, philanthropist, and more. How you doing, Steve?
Hey, great. How about you?
Hey, very well. Thanks for joining us again. Look, I'm going to jump right. I know we have some charitable things to talk about and so forth, but look, from what I saw, and I saw a smidgen of the Leafs game at the Islanders last night, another loss. People are very upset. People are saying they know more than Mike Babcock. What's it like in Leafs Nation today after that loss on Long Island?
I think the stereotype of a Leaf fan is unfair. I know it's early in November. It's creeping into mid-November. I'd say it's mid-November now. And all people are freaking out because the team hasn't lived up to expectations. It has nothing to do with the fact that the Leafs have not lived up to expectations through the first 5 or 6 weeks of the season. It's that for 3 years now, they have not lived up to expectations. For 3 years now, they've had disappointing performances. For 3 years now, they haven't been able to find Morgan Rielly an adequate D partner on the first pair. For 3 years now, they still have what I call EBFs, which are epic brain farts. For 3 years now, we've been talking about the backup goalie situation and how that's going to get solved. For 3 years now, Mike Babcock has been getting his lunch fed to him. Like Bruce Cassidy with the Boston Bruins has outcoached him in the playoffs. And I keep hearing, oh, Barry Trotz in his style and it limits scoring chances for the other team. And that's why it looked like the Leafs had so much of the puck, but very few scoring chances. And I'm like, Mike Babcock is the highest paid coach in the National Hockey League. What are you telling me about the other coach for? The Leafs should be out coaching the other team every single night, and they're not. So it's not that we're out running out of patience with this season. It's that we haven't seen a lick of change since 2017. Hi, how you doing, Rod?
Wow. That's good. That's good. Somebody take this man's pulse. And there's Rod's rant for Bronco Plumbing and Heating. Good. I don't have to do it today. Darren, are you with him? Does he speak for all Leafs Nation? Are you? Because this is the Leafs fan in the bunker here right now, along with producer Clark.
At least you're not upset about it. At least you're good, right?
Well, yeah. There were bets. I don't know if you saw a betting line in Vegas that Mike Babcock was like top three first coach to be fired, if you wanted to bet on that. Paul Maurice was another, and I can't remember the third. But sorry, I just wanted to interject with that. Darren?
No, we get excited about every coach, though. We get excited, but we got excited about Randy Carlisle. We thought he was going to be the next guy. Ron Wilson, we think everybody is going to be able to come in here and fix it, and they're going to be able to block out the media, and they're all going to be able to do their own thing. I don't know. Do you have any idea of what it's going to take to fix this or to turn things around? Because there's enough talent there.
Yeah, I mean, the life of an NHL coach or any coach really isn't fair, right? Sometimes it's not necessarily your fault. I don't think Mike Babcock is telling Jake Muzzin to give the puck away by, you know, limply flipping it out. I don't think he's telling William Nylander and Andreas Johnsson to stay out too long, have a miscommunication that causes a goal. I don't think Babcock is telling both Tyson Barrie and Jake Muzzin to take off out of the defensive zone before the team even has clear possession of the puck, you know, it resulting in another goal against. But at some point, I think the message becomes stale. And I think it's stale with fans. I mean, when this coach doesn't like a guy, it's permanent. Like, it seems pretty permanent. He didn't like Nick Batan from the second the team got him. He didn't like Jason Spezza from the second the team got him. Justin Hall is a great example of a guy who he played his first little stint with the Leafs. He had those 2 goals in 2 games. It was a great story. It was a lot of fun. His last goal, actually, was against the Islanders 2 years ago. And then, once he got sent down from that stint, he does nothing except for be a key part of the Toronto Marlies winning a Calder Cup in the American Hockey League. And they, of course, reward him by shoving him in a broom closet for a year and shove some KHL guy who played half a KHL season the year before, who they signed basically because they told him to a year ahead of time. And now he comes in and he's good. It's like, yeah, we knew he was good, but you decided you didn't like him last year. Josh Levo is a Vancouver Canuck because they would not give him a chance. And then once they finally did, it was too late because the lineup was too full and you had to either waive him and get nothing for him or get a cheap prospect for him from the Canucks, who, by the way, they gave away in the Zaitsev trade. It's not everything is Mike Babcock's fault, but sometimes he's taught them everything that there is to teach, and it's time to move on and go to the next guy. Don't tell me he can't be fired. Joel Quenneville got fired. Anyone can be fired, and I think it's time.
So do you, basically, it sounds to me that you're writing off the season. Even though they're about 500 and we've played about 20-25% of the year, like you're done. It's irreparable. It's over, correct?
I mean, everything is fixable. Look at the St. Louis Blues last year, who were last place in they fired their coach. Well, I mean, and the Pittsburgh Penguins, I mean, the first year they had Phil Kessel, they went through, you know, all this change and it looked like they weren't going to make the play. Oh, they fired their coach too. Oh, that's interesting. Like, with this, I'm just so frustrated with the lack of change. The penalty kill sucks, and they've done virtually no personnel change. They fired both coaches. The power play sucks, which is weird because they brought in a guy who had the second-ranked power play last year. If you've watched any Leaf games this season, that Morgan Rielly-Cody Ceci pairing is shocking. Shocking. They cannot play at the NHL level together. They're so bad. Morgan Rielly, I know, is not at 100%. He's missed a lot of practices this season, so I'm confused. It's not that I'm writing off the Leafs season. I'm actually optimistic for the Leafs season. I think Leaf fans are optimistic for the Leafs season because they look at the team on paper and they go, hey, that's pretty good. And then they go, what do you mean Tyson Barrie hasn't gotten a point for 16 games? I just think
the way
to salvage the season is to get a new coach.
Okay, So just one point. So When I see Brian Burke or virtually anybody that does analysis of your team on Hockey Night in Canada or no, and it almost doesn't matter where I see it. Yes, they have some of the same concerns that you do for sure. But every single person that I have a lot of respect for that knows the game far better than I do, that sees it every day, says they're way too soft. And you can't blame a coach when you've surrounded the entire dressing room full of soft guys that would make it almost impossible to win in the playoffs. If the DNA is not there, it doesn't matter who your coach, Scotty Bolton, doesn't matter who you have. You cannot win in the playoffs, and you can't have a deep playoff run with soft guys. And so the St. Louis Blues didn't have a dressing room of soft guys. They just needed somebody like the Wizard of Oz to pull the right levers. So I don't know if it can be all blamed on Mike Babcock, but you're not buying that.
No. Nothing can be pegged on one guy. And there are nights where I go, oh my God, throw a hit. Like it doesn't matter if it's in your resume. I look at your height and weight and the fact that hitting is legal in the sport and they should be able to do it. I'm with you that they're probably too soft. And there's guys within the organization. Like, I don't even think they need to make a trade. There's guys within the organization who I know can do that. But I just think I have a hard time believing, especially when I watch them and I see how guys on this team have played in years past. I have a hard time believing they're playing at 100% right now for this coach. And, you know, I get to talk to, you know, former players all the time, and they talk about coaches they liked and guys they run through a wall for. I don't think this is that dude. And life's not fair for NHL coaches, but I don't think it's that dude.
Well, we'll see. They say the cream rises to the top, or the wheat separates from the chaff. That's a Western term around U.S. Thanksgiving. So we'll see. You got about a week for that to happen. Steve, just before we let you go, some charitable things that you're doing. You got a book out there. Can you plug that for us?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Here, let me reach it right now. There you go. This team is ruining my life. I love them. How I Became a Professional Hockey Fan. It's a hockey book that's not really about hockey. It's about, like, sports media and just how I grew 10 feet and shoved them all in enough doors that I somehow sort of broke through in this business. It's been a wacky journey so far, and it's definitely not over. I hope. I'm only 31. So there's that. I'm doing Movember. That's what this abomination is. So just Google Steve Dangle Movember, and donate to that page, please. But what I'm working on for the next 48 hours is Easter Seals Ontario. It's a charity that helps out kids with physical disabilities. It's a charity that helped out my family personally when I was a kid. My sister was born at just 24 weeks. She has cerebral palsy, autism, and many other difficulties. And Easter Seals was always there when I was a kid. So we're trying to raise as much money as possible in the Eric Lindros Celebrity Hockey Classic. The top fundraising team gets to play with Eric Lindros on their team, and I want the Big E on my team. And right now we're at $75,000 raised. That's Rachel's Raiders, but I want more. Why not 88,000? I think that sounds pretty appropriate for Eric Lindros. And if you get all the way up to 88, why not make it 100,000? So celebrityhockeyclassics.com. Go to the Eric Lindros Celebrity Hockey Classic, and my team is Rachel's Raiders.
Awesome.
And we got
job,
a great
Steve.
Coach.
Yeah, for sure. Well, at least somebody in Toronto does. Thanks for your time, man. And until next time, man, I hope it turns around.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
All right. Steve Dangle joining us this morning for coffee on video chat. It is episode number 115 of the Rod Peterson Show today. Brady in Saskatoon has texted in with some number 15s. I was kind of drawing a blank when it came to number 15s this morning when I was putting it together. Some pretty good number 15s.
Oh, yeah.
Ryan Getzlaff, of course, top of mind, Anaheim Ducks captain and local hero. Vince Carter, among others. Ricky Ray. Patrick Mahomes. There are several more, but those are the ones that came to mind. For Danny Heatley, Jasperi Kokonomiemi. How do you say the guy with Montreal? Kokonomiemi? I don't watch enough Habs games. Yeah. But thank you, Brady and Saskatoon, for that. Now, other things that we're going to get to today. And, you know, probably we'll take a break here shortly before we get dive back into the football. Obviously, we'll spend a little time here on the Cody Fajardo coverage of yesterday. And then Thursday Night Football tonight is Pittsburgh at Cleveland. I spent all morning, or at least an hour and a half this morning, watching ESPN's Get Up. They're predicting there that if the Browns lose tonight to the Steelers, Freddie Kitchens and his staff will be fired.
Whoa.
After tonight, even despite the big win for the Browns on Sunday, that... And this is from, by the way, Adam Schefter. Not, as Lynch would say, not Rudy Poos.
No.
Like, guys in the know are saying the Browns will fire their coaching staff should they lose tonight. And that includes Chris Jones. Because I'm starting to see some things like, would he go to BC? Would he go to Toronto? You know, because Chamberlain's status is still very much up in the air. And on one hand, I don't think that he would come back to the CFL. Yet on the other, Tressman did after being fired by the Bears and came back and won a Grey Cup. So I will get into that with you guys and our viewers. But the Fajardo coverage, just overall, quickly, Nelson wrote in earlier and said, should the media be allowed to report what they see and send out videos? I'd have to think about that a little bit to answer his question on that.
Yeah, a closed practice.
Yeah, a closed practice. Should they be allowed? Well, they are being allowed to do it. They're doing it. So I don't know what's right. But just on the coverage itself, what did we learn yesterday? He's throwing lightly. I got a lot of football friends in the States texting me, is he going to play? Is he going to play? I said, well, I'm just following the same as you guys are, and it says that he can't throw a deep pass. I think that's a problem. Will that change between now and Sunday? It would be a miracle. And I saw you going back and forth on Twitter with our favorite sports therapist, one of them anyways, because Ivan would be in that list, but on this injury itself, Rems.
Well, you know, I don't know. I mean, I'm not a doctor.
But you play one on Facebook Live.
Twitter. No, I was genuinely interested to know, I don't know, when you Google oblique muscle strain or tear or whatever the case may be, what does this mean? Because what I'm reading, it doesn't sound very good, even if it's minor. Even if it's a minor strain, which would be the lowest that you could probably find on, you know, like, say, the severity. Okay, mm-hmm. If it's a massive tear or a minor strain, right? The pendulum can swing a pretty wide swath.
Yeah.
And friend of mine, Shad Rickey, who the rock and roll trainer, former Pats trainer, now with the University of Manitoba.
And he is with the Flames and Riders as
right.
well.
Was hired by Stevie Nicks to do her rehab.
Fleetwood Mac, for those that don't know.
And he basically...
Don't Stop.
Whoa.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's a long resume there. Shad's done well, but...
No, the song, Don't Stop, Thinking About Tomorrow. Yeah. Continue, sorry.
It'll soon be here. So he...
Why do we always sing when you two get together?
I know. Bill Clinton's campaign song, by the way. Continue.
He should have stopped. Before Monica got there.
Whoa.
But he, where was I? Oh, but he kind of came in and he basically said, without knowing the severity of the injury, it's almost impossible, but you're kind of looking at sort of a 3 week to 3 month or 4 month sort of a situation. So I just started thinking to myself, okay, well, we don't really know, right? Like, they're not going to come out and tell us the severity of the injury. I mean, for obvious reason. So if I just put my thinking hat on here for a minute, and we're 4 days or so away from the game, and it's a major victory that Cody's able to throw a 10-yard pass. Wow! Like, he's been throwing a wiffle ball, and he hasn't been able to basically do anything. Like, that doesn't sound, I don't know, I'm not a doctor, but that doesn't sound very good to me. I don't hold out a lot of hope that Cody is going to be able to be real effective in this game. Because in my mind, Cody has to be fearless to play. You know how there's just some guys where...
But I think he is fearless.
Yeah, right. But he can't be fearless if he can't run with the ball, if he's afraid to roll out and kind of do his thing. So what I guess concerns me as a fan is that if he's not able to kind of be himself, he can't be effective in my mind.
And you that should worry
you might
fans.
You might as well just play the other guy. If
think so?
Yeah, if he can't play his game. That's
oh,
all
I'm not arguing with you. I just haven't thought of it that way. So yeah. We will maybe take a time out and come back with
more. He may not know
that
till the morning of the game, actually.
You can write us on... Well, one other thing that Shad said. That's the rock and roll trainer now at Brandon University, who said, if it is an oblique injury at all. That was what he... Yeah. That was his footnote to what he was saying. Who knows if this is even true? The notoriously guarded Jeremy O'Day regime is going to just miraculously divulge
it could be
2 weeks ago
it
that if this
deep.
Is the exact nature of the injury,
yeah.
That doesn't make sense
The whole
either.
Thing might be just a big deke.
It totally could be, but the fact of the matter is he's saying he can't throw a deep pass. So as Marshall Hamilton said the other day, this is like playing poker. Don't be upset at the Riders for maybe pulling your leg a little or fibbing at this time of year, because there's lots on the line. And it might not even be an oblique injury at all. But the fact is, it is an injury. It's something. We'll pause and be back with more of this discussion in a moment. It is our Thursday morning coffee chat from the bunker in Western Canada on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Just because you're out in the country, surrounded by fields of green, living sky sunrises and sunsets, shouldn't limit you from connecting to the world. Fast, reliable, and affordable internet for rural Saskatchewan. SaskTel Fusion from Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Invite the whole world in. Sign up for SaskTel Fusion today for just $99.99, including basic install.
Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Lives fully connected.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Oh yeah, he's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Hey, welcome back to the program, everybody. Thursday morning in the Rod Peterson Show. We do have a Facebook contest going on today. Like or share our post, producer Clark tells me, and he will randomly pick winners of these original 16. I think it's one winner will get a pair of original 16 beer glasses here, courtesy of our friends at Great Western, Saskatchewan's oldest brewery. Silver Fox with us in the bunker, and Darren DuPont, and coming up in hour two, the great Ivan Goodfriend, the Hall of Fame rider therapist, and Kelly Bates, BC Lions offensive line coach. But our CFL playoff analyst, Sean Lemon, the Lemonator, joins us on the video chat this morning. There he is, looking lemon fresh today. How you doing, Sean?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Well, I'm doing great. You and I picked the same teams.
I'm glad you showed up today.
Hey.
We did okay, Sean.
The barbs. Yo, hey, sounds like you made the most of it without me, Sean. 1-1 in playoff predictions on the weekend. How did you feel about those games and how you did picking them?
I was a little upset with the first one because if I would have known DeVere Posey and Chris Matthews wasn't going to play, I wouldn't have went with the Montreal Alouettes last week.
And how about the well, you called Winnipeg to win. Why was that? And did it go the way you thought that it would?
I went a little shaky at first when Calgary got the lead early because I felt like Winnipeg was trying to, you know, be something that they weren't. And they didn't stick to the run game. But once they committed to the run game, I knew that they would have a lot of success.
By the way, you threw a barb at me already, so here's one from one of our viewers. Those are awesome PJs you're wearing, Sean.
No, it's not a PJ. this is a nice button-up shirt. I wanted to keep my little shirt thing going. I didn't have another lemon shirt to wear, so
I know. Just throwing some barbs at you this morning. It's beautiful. You look fantastic. Hey, how much are you enjoying this quarterback talk and scenario going into the West Final this weekend here, Kolarov versus Fajardo? I mean, it just seems like the whole game story begins and ends with those two.
With Kolarov, you know, I feel like it's a I think if I'm Winnipeg, you're just sitting in a good situation because you sold so much on film last week. So now, as the defensive coordinator of Saskatchewan, you got a game plan for so much stuff. If Winnipeg comes out and just plays a simple game, I think they'll have a lot of success.
Is it an insult to the others on the field, however, that there is so much attention paid to the quarterback? Or is that why these guys are paid so much, that it will come down to the health of Cody? Actually, probably the health of both guys. Is it an insult that there's too much focus on the quarterbacks in this game?
No, man, that's the league, man. CFL is a quarterback-driven league. You need a quarterback to be successful. both guys have shown that, you know, they're the heart and soul of their team. As far as when they're on the field, their team's at their best. So I think they're getting the respect that they deserve.
Is that, well, you're a D-line guy. Bob, so I'm going to ask you, who's got the edge there? Because the Bombers got Jeffcoat back. Willie's been playing all year. We've seen him win games on his own. And the Riders have their guys, Charleston Hughes, A.C. Leonard, Zach Evans, and so forth. Who's got the edge in D-line in this battle?
Oh, it's a close one, but I'm going to have to say that Saskatchewan Rough Riders front seven in general, you're not just their D-line, but their linebackers, I feel like they have the best front seven in this game.
Sean, you know, I've always felt that football is kind of the one sport that the crowd and the noise can make an absolute impact in the game if it reaches a fever pitch. You know, in hockey and baseball, plays aren't called because of fans. But in football, if the quarterback can't articulate an audible to the players because they can't hear, that would make a huge difference. As a player, did you find it to be a real challenge playing in crazy loud stadiums? And how much of a factor in your mind does it make when it is at that extreme level?
I mean, I like it personally because as a defensive lineman, you know, you're playing in a loud stadium. Quarterbacks most of the time are never going to go on two, so you can get a jump on the snap count. And, you know, also it could be the gift and the curse because it can motivate the other defensive linemen and the other team to, you know, want to make plays to shut the crowd up. So it's kind of a gift and a curse. It'll be interesting to tell, you know, the first 5-10 minutes of the game in the first quarter to, you know, see what type of game we're going to be facing.
Well, actually, it's a good question by Kelly. I mean, Sean, you're a Grey Cup champion. I'm sure you've played semifinal weekend.
Two times.
Calgary and Ottawa. Yeah, sorry. Thanks for clarifying.
No, no problem. Always will, you know.
How are you on home field advantage and its importance?
It's a lot of pressure. You know, playing in Calgary, we really had a huge home field advantage playing in our home games. Playing in Toronto, I feel like, you know, we didn't have much of a home field advantage. We played you guys in the East Final, I think 2017, and I looked around the stadium and I saw more green than I saw Toronto fans. So, you know, it really doesn't matter. You know, you just got to come in and focus on the game. And, you know, football is football. If you need any extra motivation for a conference finals game, you're probably playing the wrong sport.
Actually, you're right about that East Final, but it was a hell of a football game, right? It went right down to the wire. But, you know, you mentioned Calgary. When I talked to their guys right after the game, the couple days after, they were still so stunned. They had no explanation as to what happened against Winnipeg. You watched the game. How did they lose that game? Because that was not the Stamps that we know.
I mean, I love Bo as a person, but I feel like he messed up the day before when TSN asked him, you know, you guys really don't have a run game established. How do you feel about it? You know, if it's up to me, I want to pass the ball 100% of the time. That right there tells the mindset of that team. You know, they have a coach who's a quarterback in Dave Dickinson. So, you know, I feel like that Calgary has grown to become more of a pass-heavy team than back in the John Cornish days, you know, when Bo just started playing quarterback, when we had a really good defense, a really good run game, and Bo didn't need to come in and be Superman. So, you know, I just feel like now they pass the ball way too much. They need to find their identity more running the ball.
Hardly any time has been spent on this program anyways on the East Final, and there should be more. So Edmonton at Hamilton, what's your take on that game? I got a few questions for you on it, but just overall, what are you going to be looking for?
I want to be looking at the defense of Hamilton. If Hamilton can come out and, you know, take away that, you know, the RPO action that, you know, Trevor Harris so loves so much. And, you know, just watching it against Montreal, I'm yelling at the TV like, Montreal, he's running the same play. Take away the post coming across the middle, and, you know, Trevor will have a chance to hold the ball. So they can come out and, you know, take away that RPO action with that GG route that Trevor loves since he's been playing in Ottawa. That's always been his go-to route. So if they can take away that route, their defense can fly around like they always do. You know, with, you know, Simone Lawrence and those guys, I think they can get it done.
Well, the Ticats are favored by 4. That's a pretty slim margin for an Edmonton team coming in at 8-10, you know, traveling across the country. I'm getting asked this question. I'll put it to you. Does Edmonton have a chance to win the game? And if so, what do they got to do?
They have a chance to win the game, but I don't think they will be able to win the game. No, Tommy Condell has done an amazing job with that offense. Like I said earlier, he's shown so much on film, and you only have a few days, 3 to 4 days to game plan, you know, for an offense who's so dynamic. And then they add Terrell Sutton, who's one of the best running backs in the league, in my opinion. So you just never know what you're going to get. I feel like that Hamilton, you know, is going to pull this one off by more than 4 points.
So you got Hamilton to win there, and I don't think I got a pick from you for this one here in Saskatchewan. What do you got between Riders and Bombers?
Oh, man, my boys in Sask, Charleston, Solly, and Manny, they're going to be upset with me about this one, but I'm going with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers again this week.
Whoa.
Wow.
Whoa.
Boom. I got the Riders to win, by the way, but they are favored by four. Yeah, of course.
I'll say this. Think about this, man. Who was the last team to show up in that stadium and send the Riders home?
The Winnipeg Blue Bombers.
And I feel like they have the DNA for it. You got to think about it from a Winnipeg's perspective. They've had so many veterans. They just made a mid-season trade to get Zach Caleros in. Their coach is on the last year of his contract there. Those guys know that if it doesn't happen this year, whole thing's getting blown up. So I feel like that brings something extra to it. You know what I mean? And they've been so close for so many years. I feel like this is the year where they're going to, you know, make it to the Grey Cup.
I love the analysis. I love it all. You know that I'm a big fan of yours. I got to ask you, how are you liking the media thing, by the way? I know TSN likes you a lot. Is this something – I know you want to play probably for a long time, but is this something you might consider full-time?
Oh, yeah, I think so. You know, something that I like doing. I'm going to be doing some work with TSN during the Grey Cup week coming up this week. I really enjoy it, man, because, you know, I feel like myself, I have a very different aspect as far as being able to break down the game from some different aspects, man. I definitely really enjoy it. Just something I'm just, you know, just setting myself up for life after football.
Well, what's hilarious is Tory Gerley told me when he was trashing the Argos earlier this year that you texted him and got in his grill about his assessment of the Argos.
Who's that? Repeat that.
Tory Gerley told me that you got in his grill about his assessment of the Argos this year and how the teams quit.
Tory's my guy, man. I got in Tory's grill about South Carolina losing to Appalachian State as well. Did he tell you that?
No, he didn't tell me that part.
Might as well, South Carolina, they might as well join the MAC conference.
Well, yeah, well, he's struggling with it, with all of them. I think he loves the Gamecocks more than anybody else. But now you're seeing how being critical does ruffle a few feathers.
It does ruffle a lot of feathers. I know I'm going to get a lot of phone calls today when Manny and Solly, when they get out of practice and see that I picked the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. But like I said, man, I'm giving the edge to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers this week.
All right, Sean, great stuff, my man. We'll chat with you next week for Grey Cup. We'll talk about the combatants.
Most definitely. I'll talk to you then. Thanks, guys.
You bet. The Lemonator, Sean Lemon, joining us from, I think, Toronto this morning. So that was fun.
Cool.
Orlando.
He's in Orlando.
Clark tells
yeah.
me, oh, you lucky. Next time I'm going to Orlando to interview him.
When we had him on last week, yeah, it was 28 degrees in Orlando on the Celsius side. And I'm just like.
Orlando's becoming my favorite city.
Yeah. You were in Texas. Marshall was away. He's in the sun. He was in Orlando and we were here. I don't know.
So
I drew the short straw.
Entertaining everybody else.
Yeah, exactly.
But somebody was asking about my Spurs jacket. I'll talk about that next hour a little more because, Remps, you're adjourning or you're staying? What's up? You got to go, right?
I'm done at 11.
You're done at 11. So what do you got before we go? Anything? Your Warriors? Your Riders?
Well, let's talk Riders here.
Okay.
I mean, we got the rest of the year to talk about that other stuff.
Absolutely.
This is an exciting time. I mean, it really, truly is. Think about the math. Just think about the math. This is not a 32-team league here, okay?
Okay.
It's a nine-team league, and over the last however many years, there's only been either four or five teams in the Western Division. This will be the second time since 1976 that there's been a Western Final in Regina. I mean, that's almost hard to believe.
Sad,
that,
actually.
That you wouldn't slip on a banana peel once in a while and finish in first. Like, you've only got four or five teams. This is something to cherish. It really is. I mean, ask Ivan. I mean, this is a very rare thing. And I think the people are pumped. I think the fans are going to be juiced. They're going to be jacked. They're going to be ready. They've kept the ticket prices in the upper bowl and in the end zones at a reasonable rate. So nobody can say, well, it's too expensive when you're offering a $39 ticket or whatever. I do think by the time the game rolls around, even though there's quite a few tickets now, that they'll mostly be sold. I think that building, that stadium is just going to be absolutely crazy. And it's something to cherish. We don't get this every day, folks. You know, a Western Final. The last time was was 09, right?
Yeah, a decade ago, which as we get older doesn't seem like that long ago. It actually was a long time ago.
I just,
you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I absolutely do. But to think about, this will be the second time since 1976. I can't believe that. But it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun, and I think that it gives the riders a huge advantage to offset some of the things that you could argue, you know, that the Bombers are maybe the hotter team. You know, there's always that talk about, you know, if you're never going to want to pass on the chance to be the first place team, because if your chances are 50-50, you don't have to worry about that. You go straight to the game. But there's a lot of talk over the years about, is it a benefit? Would you not rather be the team that just came off a big win? So there's all kinds of different scenarios and opinions, and I just can't wait.
I'm excited to get Ivan in here next hour to talk a little bit about Cody Fajardo and some playoff memories, but I'd have to check my notes. I can't remember who said it yesterday. It was Nick Lewis who said, really, when it gets to this time of year, you wish it was best on best, and it doesn't look like we're getting best on best. Like the more we hear about Cody Fajardo, he's not going to be 100%.
No.
And how is that going to affect the football game? Now, the Bombers don't care. Nick Lewis brought up the 07 Grey Cup, and I thought it was interesting that he would. He goes, it wasn't Kevin Glenn versus Kerry Joseph. It was Kerry Joseph versus Ryan Dinwiddie starting his first career game, and it ruined the game. Who cares from my perspective? But from a league perspective, you want best versus best. Doesn't look like we're going to get that.
Yeah.
And how will the prediction of the Bombers to win by Sean Lemon and just about everybody else go over here? Probably not very well.
I don't know.
I
people are excited about the Bombers.
Yes, they are.
And you can understand why. I mean, we've known all year that they've got as good a defense as there is in the league. I mean, they are ferocious beasts. Not that the Riders' defense isn't, but their defense is outstanding. Okay, the only thing, and they run the ball as well as anybody else too. The only thing is their quarterbacking, but now their quarterbacking has been dialed up. Mm-hmm. But I think that sometimes what happens in sports is, and this is why I'm maybe not quite as worried about the Fajardo thing as a lot of people, although to say I'm not concerned, I mean, give me a break. Of course I am. Of course I am. I bleed green and I'm not thrilled about this scenario as much as anybody else, but sometimes that rallies everybody else on the team. I mean, if you're an offensive lineman and you know that your guy, even if he is there, he's not going to be even close to 100%. Like, we absolutely have to protect this guy. It brings out a little bit, you got that little bit extra that you may not otherwise normally have. Like, I'm a firm believer, getting back to your 2007 scenario, I think one of the reasons that the Riders didn't play their best that day is because if Kevin Glenn is in that game, you tell me that you're going to be flat? Not a chance. There's always going to be a little voice in your head somewhere that thinks that it might be easy, right? And I know that they're professionals, and it's a subconscious thing. I don't think anybody sits in the dressing room and says, like, well, we don't have to play hard today. I mean, this guy, Ryan Dinwiddie's not going to beat us. I don't think that gets discussed. But I've talked to players that have said that sometimes you get a little bit fat when it looks like you're going to win.
Well, in this case, I don't think Winnipeg's getting fat.
No.
They're coming in to pulverize the Rough Riders and the less than 100% Cody Fajardo. We got to get out of here for hour one. Kelly, you wear scarves, right? From time to time?
From time to time.
Will you wear a Hanley Sabres football team scarf? Look at it. It's like Dr. Seuss. Merry Christmas.
Throw that over here. This is.
And you can have your pick of anything else, but I'm taking this dry fit, moisture wicking jacket myself.
Ugh. Look at that.
Next hour, Ivan Goodfriend, Kelly Bates, and a whole lot more. Thanks, Remps.
All right. Take care.
Sean Lemon, thanks to him in hour one, and Steve Dangle. We'll be back in hour two. It's episode 115 coming to you from the bunker of the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com and catch our best clips on our YouTube channel.
If you've been using an inefficient heating system for indoor or outdoor use, you might be surprised by the quality and comfort that zone-controlled infrared heaters offer. Heating Green's energy-saving infrared heaters transfer sun-like warmth directly to people and objects without noise or maintenance. Increase your comfort and decrease cost, room by room. Our silent infrared heaters are perfect for indoor and outdoor spaces. For greater comfort using less energy, contact us at heatinggreen.com.
Our biggest sale of the year has returned. The greatest auto sale is back at Capital GMC. We have over 1,000 new and used vehicles to choose from with savings up to $17,000. And for a limited time, we're offering finance rates as low as 0% on new and used vehicles. Buy or lease a new or used vehicle during the greatest auto sale for your chance to win your payments for a whole year. Run down, walk down, bus down, or fly down. Just get yourself down to Capital's greatest auto sale.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
Saskatchewan Snow Beef is the highest quality beef you will find, bred, born, and raised in Saskatchewan. Snow Beef is the result of crossbreeding full-blood Wagyu males with Holstein females. Much like a fine wine, when given the proper care and diet, the Snow Beef genetics develop superior marbling and flavor. The culmination of these efforts is the best beef you can get in Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan Snow Beef is available at Crave Kitchen and Wine Bar on Victoria Avenue in Regina, Little Red's Market Cafe in Mortlock, Saskatchewan, or take some home to your own grill by purchasing it at Local and Fresh, 1377 Hamilton Street in Regina. For more information, follow them on Facebook or Instagram at Sask Snow Beef.
Some of the challenges we face with the CT technology that we have today is some of the deficiencies in around integration with some of our other systems. The addition of two new 4D simulators within the programming of the Saskatchewan Cancer Agency is going to have significant impact on you know, the care we provide to the people of Saskatchewan.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.